Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. This week, we are starting a new month and a new theme. July's theme the theme for this July is video games. I'm going to do pretty much franchises. And this first episode will set it off on how it's going to go. I'm going to give you a list of some of the games, not all the games. This one's going to be a lot, so I'll list off a bunch of them. I'll list my favorite ones, and then we'll talk a little bit about the story and stuff like that. So this week's episode is all about The Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda was one of my first real ventures into story-based games. If you remember the very first Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the NES, way back when, in 1984, not that I played it when it was brand new, but I did play it later on. Terrific game, by the way. One of the best in the series, because it was a lot different than everything else around at the time. The big thing was this particular game was the very first Nintendo game to have save points. So built into the cartridge for the Nintendo Entertainment System was a small solid-state drive that was powered by an internal battery that charged, essentially. I don't know if it charged itself off the console, but it had a little bit of charge that just kept that little memory alive in there. And I'm pretty sure they die after a long time, but I don't know how long that actually lasts. But it was the very first game to ever have the ability to save your progress. Most games, you started at the beginning and you played until you could no longer play anymore, or until you died and had to start over, and then you gave up because it was hours of your life dumped into that single play. Obviously, as you got better at certain games like Mario, they had Mario was one of the very first games to have a new game plus type mode. So if you don't remember Mario, we'll talk about this too later on, because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna talk about Mario. The new game plus is when you beat the game, so you went through all the worlds, you get to start back over, but all the bad guys, instead of being Goombas, were the Beatles, so it made it a little harder, things like that. So, fun little trivia thing for you there, too. So, with Zelda, The Legend of Zelda, when it debuted, I guess you could say, It was a drastically different game than a lot of the things you played, because you played this, in most games, you played a linear, like, side-scrolling type thing. Mario Brothers would be an example. Super Mario Brothers would be an example. You moved from left to right. You couldn't really go back any. You could just go forward. You could go back and forth within the screen you're on, but you couldn't go to a previous screen you were at before. So it was a progression always going to the right. Zelda, or Legend of Zelda, you had the ability to move around on a free form on a map. So the map was very large. If you've never seen it, you can search your favorite browser and favorite search engine for the Legend of Zelda map, and you'll get one, and it's very large for what it was. And you move you can see, usually the maps you get, a lot of them will show you each screen you would have been on. So they're little squares, a very large map. It had a lot of content to it, different enemy types, different powers you could get for your upgrade to your sword and your boomerang and your bombs. Later on, they added other stuff, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So, main premise of all the games, pretty much, is you are a hero, named Link, not Zelda. Zelda's the princess. Many people get that confused. You play as Link, and your main objective in most all of the games, and they're all very various variations of them, is you basically have to save Princess Zelda from Ganon or Ganondorf, depending on which game you're playing, and his scheme or plot to either destroy the world that you know and love and take it for himself, or just to rule over it himself. And he's very bad. So that's pretty much it. In the very first incarnation, which is The Legend of Zelda, he appears as a sort of pig, humanoid creature. Later in iterations, he is more humanoid, in those, like especially in one of my all-time favorites, which is the Ocarina of Time. When you face him, he is a I would say like a bluish gray skinned humanoid, very tall, burning red hair, and very very mad at you for the most part. And so that's the kind of the image that most people nowadays associate with him. There are different variations of it as the other games have kind of progressed through. If you go to Wikipedia, probably has the biggest list of all the characters. You can definitely do a search for Ganon or Ganondorf through any browser, and you're going to find images of him, and he's usually darker skinned, usually like a gray or a slate, a blue, and then has like burning red hair a lot, like very orange, like carrot toppy orange. A lot of times wearing armor, wielding a sword of some sort. There'll be a couple times where you see him riding a horse. That's from Ocarina of Time, early on from Ocarina of Time, but you can definitely do a pretty good search and be able to find what he looks like. And he's had variations in the different versions of him. Later games, when he was more of a humanoid, he went by the name Ganondorf. I'll get into that a little bit later too, when I go over the story stuff of a couple of the ones that I like in the overall mythos of the Legend of Zelda games, the Legend of Zelda universe, you have them. So the timeline is kind of weird because they've bounced around in the storytelling of it. And really in chronological order, it goes in a very bizarre way. So basically the overall, I guess you could say, main character, which is Link. He is a hero of time, as many would say. He is various young heroes throughout time. He's reincarnated, and in one of the games, he's reincarnated like a demigod, I think, in one of them, I think it was, and that might even be like one of the super not, might even be one of the books, I can't remember, but so basically Link is is different Hyrulean heroes or Highland heroes throughout time in different stories, and basically the whole thing is these three characters, so Link, Zelda, and Ganon, are locked in this revolving through time struggle. And so as Ganon, every time he comes back, he tries to find new and devious ways to kill Link, capture Zelda in different ways, and try to take over Hyrule for his own nefarious whatevers. Usually in so when you go through the game, you are learning the story that you're in that time, so that time frame. So the way this works is it starts with the very first story that you go through is actually going to be Skyward Sword, which is the game that was released on the Nintendo GameCube originally. And then, I'm sorry, the Wii, I don't know why the Skyward Sword was on Wii. It is, it's a really fun game actually. And they changed a lot of the mechanics. You start off in this, essentially a city in the clouds, and you venture down into, below the clouds to save Zelda and the rest of Hyrule. And things like that. It's a very interesting game. They changed up quite a bit on stuff because you have this bird you fly on and you have different abilities and things like that. The combat was really cool in that game too, because you got to motion controls with the Wii and the Wii U were not everyone's favorites. Motion controls aren't always the best, especially with an action game like Zelda. So Skyward Sword is the beginning of the story. Then you have the Minish Cap, which I believe was on the DS. Then you go to Four Swords, which is also on the DS, and then later on the GameCube, right? I probably should know that. It is later on released, along with something else, on the GameCube. But it plays top down like all the classic Zelda games do, very reminiscent of the originals. Then you have Ocarina of Time, which is the one game most people usually talk about when it comes to the Legend of Zelda. When you say Legend of Zelda, people go, oh, Ocarina of Time. It's usually the number one that most people talk about. From there, you have three different timelines that you fall into. There's the Decline of Hyrule, the Twilight Realm, and a new world. And I'll go briefly through all of them. And the one that's not so far categorized in any of these is actually the newest of the game, which is Breath of the Wild, but we'll go into that in a little bit. So the Decline of Hyrule, you have a total of seven games. I'll burn through them really quickly here. A Link to the Past, which is one of my favorites as well. You have Oracle of the Seasons and Ages, Link's Awakening, which is Legend of Zelda 2. Am I reading the right list? I might have gone to the wrong one. Link's Awakening was one of the DS games. I was thinking of Adventures of Link with Zelda 2. So anyway, you have Link's Awakening, A Link Between Worlds, Triforce Heroes, The Legend of Zelda, which is the original OG game, and The Awakening of Link, which is the second game, which is by far everyone's least favorite of all the games, I think, because it was side-scrolling. It was very not great. It has some pretty cool gaming because we can actually do a sword pound. You could jump up and basically do a down thrust and land on enemies with the sword, which is pretty cool. But for the most part, the game was kind of garbage. Didn't really have much of a story in it and things like that. So that's the Decline of Hyrule. In each of those games, Hyrule is under attack and usually has some variations of the world you play through. The Twilight Realm is three different games. You have Majora's Mask, which is one of real big fan favorite. It's a very different it's a different play on the game, but it's based in the Ocarina of Time world, it was built on the same engine, I believe, as Ocarina of Time. You have Twilight Princess, you have Four Swords Adventures, and then in a new world you have The Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, and Spirit Tracks. Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks were both DS games, and The Wind Waker was the GameCube game, which again is one of my favorites and also one of the most artistically designed of all of the games too. They went to a cell shading versus the normal polygoned look everyone had. So it was very cartoonish. They animated the wind because the wind was a big game mechanic in it, because you were sailing on boats. They made characterizations of all the characters were drastically altered, and they were very characterized in there, which is pretty cool. The way the timeline works, there was a book released in 2011 that is called The Hyrule Historia, which is the official canon release for all Zelda games. So it tells you, it basically breaks down at the time, the 2011, the time it came out, was all of them except for Breath of the Wild, because it wasn't out yet. Because it came out in 2016. Or 2017. So this, so in chronological order, how it's played out in or told to be the right way in the Hyrule Historia, you basically do so of all the games. So let's see here. Established official timeline was released installments. Zelda 2, Adventure of Link, is a direct connection to all games. Is a direct sequel to the original Legend of Zelda and takes place several years later. The third game, A Link to the Past, is a prequel to the first two games, so it takes place before. That's why if you go by the list I gave you, Link to the Past is the beginning of the decline of Hyrule. And Legend of Zelda and the Adventures of Link are the bottom two because they're the end of that that time and that time period and that class of, or that section of games and storytelling. So followed by that is Link's Awakening and Ocarina of Time, which is a prequel in its own right to the telling of other stories, so the main story, then that branches out into the three different timelines that you play through. I'm reading off a list here. Then you have Majora's Mask, which directly following the ending of Skyward Sword, the story is told at the end of A Link to the Past, which is Majora's Mask is basically the following its ending. So A Link to the Past happens, and then Majora's Mask is the story that happens right after that. Then you have Skyward Sword, is the prequel to Ocarina of Time. You have Twilight Princess is set more than 100 years after Ocarina of Time. The Wind Waker is parallel, which means it takes place at the same time as A Link to the Past. And it's in a different realm. It's in the a new world realm, which is where they the characterization that art style changed with that one. Phantom Hourglass is a continuation of the story from the Wind Waker. So it goes Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass is a continuation of that story, and it's followed by Spirit Tracks, which is based on a train game, but that's set 100 years later. And far away from the setting of Wind Waker because it has to do with trains instead of boats. It's an interesting little way to do it. Four Swords is the oldest tale in the chronological series. The Four Sword Adventures is set sometime after those events. Then you have the Minish Cap, which precedes two games, the telling original villain Vati and the creation of the Four Sword. A Link to Between Worlds takes place six generations after Link to the Past, which is insane to think about, because that's a lot of time. But again, you're playing a reincarnation of the same person, so there's gonna be some time gap in there. It's not like he dies and, you know, he lives out his life or whatever, and then you have the next iteration. And then some of these are caused by things that Ganon did, so there's like links between some of the different dimension or different multiverses that they have in there. It's really crazy how they kind of link these all together. Get it? Link these together? That was a terrible joke. That's the way the story flows. And there's a lot of, again, like I said, there's these little links in story and things you see throughout the games. They're very clever about it, the way they did it. The games themselves, so if I were to pick my top three, which is a fucking hard choice in general, in no particular order, there's the original, so The Legend of Zelda. I would say A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, those are my three favorite games. All very similar in the way they're not the way they're played, in the way they're structured either, but very similar in the storytelling, especially Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, because they both have to do with time travel, which I know is, you know, last month's theme. But with those, A Link to the Past and The Legend of Zelda, they're more of the classic top-down style where you, you know, the biggest thing is you're out in the open world and you go to dungeons to progress and find different items and weapons to prepare you for your ultimate fight with Ganon at the end. Link to the Past is one of those games I used to play. Well, before I was able, when I first ventured into the world of Zelda, my brother Dustin would play it and I would watch him, and he eventually later on in life memorized, all three of those games. So he could, they were so much fun. And it's not one of those things you could play in an afternoon because they're super long games. I mean, you probably could on most of them, probably people have, so I'll probably yell that for that. But, I think if you're going through and getting everything, it's going to take quite a few hours, and there's probably something online that tells you how long it takes to play, because there's speed runs you can run through on almost all of them, of those ones, except for Ocarina of Time kind of gets this like block because there's certain things you have to do and have to have, but you can burn through them pretty quickly. But they're all really great games. But Dustin used to play it before I could figure out, when I was very young and before I really figured out how games played, especially a game such like this where there was, it wasn't just move from the left to the right and kill everything in front of you or to avoid everything in front of you, and, you know, pick this up to do this or whatever, because I could play a Mario game and a lot of those ones, play Mario Contra, he used to beat the shit out of me in baseball, I'm talking like 99-0 and shit, like it was terrible that game. Probably where my hatred for sports comes from, by the way, it's a little Freudian fact there for you, if you know me very well. It all started then. But he would play that game for sure when I was younger, and he would tell me, he would explain the story as it went along to me, so he would tell me the story as he's playing so I could follow along with it. And it was, the original Legend of Zelda had a quite a bit of story, but it wasn't like nearly as elaborate as A Link to the Past, and definitely not as elaborate as Ocarina of Time, but all three of those have a pretty big story. Legend of Zelda is mostly told through what's happening on the screen, so he'd explain to me and then read off the boxes where people would say things, and he'd explain to me the lore as he knew, which for the most part I think is like spot on anyways. It may be the reason I don't know a lot of stuff, because I relied on him to tell me those things. And then when A Link to the Past came out on the Super Nintendo, I was definitely old enough to play them. He definitely helped me play through those games, because when I was younger, I didn't have the patience to do those things. So he would not tell me exactly where to go, but he would guide me to the right places to get all the different items that you need to do certain things, because there's different items you need to do certain things, like power gloves and different armor, and then how the story progressed. But it was one of my favorites still in it, because you had the ocarina and you could call in a bird to take you different places, and you could essentially have their version of fast traveling. Instead of just picking a spot on the map and just appearing there, you would call in this bird that you at one point released out of a statue from the past. And he would pick you up and be able to drop you off in different places. So there's a lot of that, a very big map as well. If you really want to do a crazy comparison, if you do the Legend of Zelda game map, and then you do the Link to the Past game map, you will be surprised how big both the games were. But also, like, kind of the similarities, too, if I really remember correctly. I'm going to pull up real quick so I can look at them. So, the Legend of Zelda game map was pretty sprawling. It was very big. And like I said, if you do a search for them, usually you can find ones that are gridded. But you also, if you look at them, you can tell, because there's these breaks in between each of the areas that you go through. But if you do that comparison to Link to the Past, you will find it as well, that they're both very big maps. One's more square than one of the other ones, but you can see the kind of different areas. The one thing they don't show on either of the maps is the dungeon areas that you go through. So when you go into a dungeon, there's different map layouts in there, but you can see kind of how the difference is. You have foresty areas, you have deserty areas, you have water areas, and they're all colored, obviously colored the different ways. Very, very interesting look at them and how big they are. And I don't think you can really do a very good job of choosing, of getting Ocarina of Time because of how big it is. I guess you can get a fairly, most of these are made by somebody though. Again, doesn't show the dungeons you go into, the different places you go to, but pretty spectacularly big map as well. That's why they gave you a horse companion in the Ocarina of Time, because you needed it for sure. So the last bit I'll tell you about the games is kind of like the inside to everything, but kind of like give you an idea of the lore. So in the all games focus around essentially, I would say, two main items. One is the Master Sword, which is the Blade of Evil's Bane, as it's explained in some of them, or the Sword of Resurrection, and is the sword linked essentially to the Hero of Time. So every iteration of the Hero of Time ends up wielding the Master Sword, and not an incarnation. Usually it's the same sword that's just essentially left somewhere protected by the enchantment that is the blade, that is in the blade, to protect it from outside, from unworthy people, which is one of my favorite missions in A Link to the Past, is going into the woods and basically navigating. I probably forgot the pattern now, but navigating through that to find it and claim the Master Sword for yourself. And then you get super awesome powers to be able to shoot energy beams out of it and chop through all sorts of stuff and do more damage. It's super awesome. And the next, the second item that pretty much all the games focus around in their own way is the Triforce. The Triforce, also known as Power of the Gods, or the Golden Triangle, is a sacred relic that is the essence of the golden goddesses. There's three parts to it. It's when they're conjoined up, the ultimate power of the Triforce is given to the wielder. The three parts are going to be Triforce of Power, Triforce of Wisdom, and Triforce of Courage. They are basically, the three of them are the three things that make the Hero of Time the Hero of Time. So basically, he has power, wisdom, and courage to go up against the enemies or the bad guys trying to do things to unbalance the world. Ganon is oftentimes in these games also after these, because he believes that if he wields the Triforce altogether, he'll have the ultimate power to be able to do the things he needs to get rid of Link forever. And take over the world. And of course, it's your job to find them first and destroy him in the process. So basically, that's it. So those are your main two things. And in each game, beyond that, you have different things. And like Ocarina of Time, you have the pendants that you go after that are basically, they lead you into getting the Triforce in general. But they have their elements versus these powers. So you have power, wisdom, courage, and those ones you have five or six different ones. I should probably know this since it's one of my favorite games. And you collect them through the different dungeons that correspond with the type or the element that they are. And then you you use those to unlock the Temple of Time, which then lets you go into the future, where you're gonna stop Ganon from doing what he's doing. There's the three main ones, and I'm confusing some of the games with the other ones. There's not in the original, in this one, there was five, or three that were in this one that you use to unlock the Temple of Time, which was Fire, Water, and Earth, I believe. Which were they? Is what they were. But in that game, you they did a lot more of the storytelling in a narrative way through multiple characters that you befriended throughout your quests, end up helping you and giving you essentially a wisdom, and go about from there. I think the biggest difference in Ocarina of Time versus the other two games is the way that the game is played. It's a third person, high over shoulder camera angle that you had, that you could utilize it. So it really changed the play dynamic too. So that was the biggest thing I would say about those ones. But yeah, so I think that's everything that I want to talk about with Legend of Zelda. That's my first first game of the month, or first franchise of the month. But yeah, those are my picks. There's other great ones. Those are my top three, though. If we were to talk about my favorite ones of those ones, those would be the three that I would always point to, because I've played through all of them multiple times, and I have multiple versions of each of them, I believe, to play on as Nintendo consoles have come out and evolved. They keep sucking money out of me to get those ones. But there are some they're really good standout games in a lot of the other ones, including the new one, Breath of the Wild, Twilight Princess, and Wind Waker are definitely three of them that are drastically different in game style play, but also are terrific games and have really good stories in them as well, that kind of change up your perspective on the hero and stuff like that. So yeah, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. Again, I am Cody, and we were talking about The Legend of Zelda. As usual, guys, let's be awesome.